We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Thanks for tuning in to WYXR. You're now listening to another edition of WYXR Stereo Sessions presented by Next Air and Mempho. This session features the High Rhythm section and their 1976 LP, On the Loose. Jared Boyd sits down with Grammy Award-winning producer Boo Mitchell and High Rhythm section band members Leroy Hodges, Archie Hubby Turner, and Reverend Charles E. Hodges.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that you're here with us. My name is Jared J.B. Boyd. I'm program manager at WYXR 91.7 right here in Memphis, Tennessee, the Bluff City, the most beautiful land in the world. As you can tell, I've already had a couple of things to drink. Hopefully you have too. That's why we had a cocktail party before this. This is a party record. You know, last month we had Grifters, The Crap You Negative. If you enjoyed that, if you were here for that, then it kind of turned into it felt like a home room or something like that. Like people started like flipping chairs around, and there was someone playing cards, and somebody was smoking a clove cigar. So. Robbie and I listened to this record yesterday and said, damn, this record's like a danceable record. So, if you feel like, you know, moving and grooving a little bit, I won't be mad at you. Stereo Sessions is not about just being stuffy and something like a seminar. This isn't the Brooks Museum or anything. This is the Memphis Listening Lab, and we are Memphis. And, you know, I think we want to honor every record with the mood that it is. And so Companion was a prog rock record, and the Sam record was like a really dope blues record. I heard you, yeah, you know, it was a good record. And then, you know, like the Griffiths thing was sort of angsty and angry, and like this record, I think, is just a record you can bump your booty with somebody next to you. So if you feel that and do that, you've already had a cocktail, so that means you can do that. Where's my friend Boo Mitchell? Boo Mitchell, can you come over? Because this is, there's so many people behind the scenes that make each record. Well, there's a microphone. I'm not sure which one's which.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
There's so many people behind the scenes of every Stereo Session that bring the whole thing together. This brother's been so wonderful to us as a station, but so wonderful to me. I appreciate you. I knew we were kindred because my middle name is Lawrence. Your first name is Lawrence.
Absolutely.
And everybody calls you Boo, and I'm everybody's Boo. So
absolutely. My wife will be glad to hear it.
That means that we're connected for life, and I appreciate you for helping us to bring this together.
Hey, appreciate you, Jamie.
So much was working in the background to make this night maybe not be the night that it needed to be, but tonight's going to be the night that it needs to be, because we are Memphis, and we bring it all together, we pull it all together, we hold each other, and this Stereo Session is about celebrating records that you might not know. The public may not know, for whatever reason, you know, you may have missed it the first time, or it may have come out and you're missing it and people aren't, you know, but we want to bring light to records that people don't talk about every day. We love the Otis Reddings. We love the Carla Thomases. We love the Ann Peebles. We love the Al Greens. We love all of our legends, but there's so many little records sort of in the those two pages in history might be stuck together. And so I want to just very, very carefully pull them apart. Boo has to handle the halftime show at Grizzlies tonight. So, as you can see, I'm dressed to see the game. This brother's going to be at the game. Do you have any remarks before we kick this thing off? We're going to get everybody out to see the game tonight. That's what we want to do.
Well, I just want to say that you are a true champion of Memphis music.
Bless you.
It is really awesome. Y'all, give him a round for this man. It's really awesome to see someone in your generation that reveres the OGs and reveres the history and the music, and you, man, keep flying your Memphis flag because you represent us well.
Thank you. Congratulations on the Grammy. And also, while we have you here in front of the audience, you'll come back to do your rap record. You know, Boo has a rap record from back in the day. You come back next Stereo Sessions for the M Team record. Can we do that?
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'll do it for you. You know I still
bless you, brother. Thank you. Let's get the high rhythms up here. Let's get the brothers up here. Thank you. You can keep it as long as you're able to keep it. Reverend Charles Hodges. Archie Hubby Turner and Leroy Charles. You can't see this part. All right. Fellas, how are y'all doing this evening?
Great, great.
Yeah.
where's the mic?
We get you right.
You sitting on it? I don't need no mic now.
We're so blessed that y'all are here with us.
Well, we are honored that you all invited us to come out.
Absolutely. Yes. We're here for On the Loose. I mean, how does it feel to see a room full of people that want to hear this record? I don't know how much personal fanfare y'all have accepted for this record, but I feel like it's one that is worth revisiting. It's in a series of records that we plan to celebrate. I mean, what does this record mean for y'all at this stage?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, Reverend Charles.
Well, reminds me of how it all come together. And we were so young. We was recording Al Green, the Hand People, Seal Johnson, Obie Wright, Detroit Emeralds. We was recording all those people. So we said, hey, why not do something on our own? And we are very fortunate to have the engineer with us today, my older brother Leroy, the bass player, the engineer that's on the loose. And I wrote the title song along with Archie Turner and the late Maven Tini Hodges. So it brings back a whole lot of memories. And I'm glad for people accepting us, because we was already accepted with the Al Green after selling the 26 gold and platinum records consecutive. But, you know, that was just a drop in the bucket to us. We wanted to make a name for ourselves. So, mm-hmm. On the Loose, you know, kind of helped us with that.
Yeah, you know, I just got the synthesis. I was into the rock and roll back then, and I had just joined the band after coming out of the Army. And I had been on the road in California and trying to do some rock music. Had a chance to see Bill Graham and with a group called Black Rock. So when that didn't work out, I came back home. Everybody thought I got caught in the earthquake. I said, no, I'm in San Francisco. The earthquake was in L.A. But I did just miss about 24 hours. So I came back home to regroup. And I said, let me go over to the studio and see what's going on. So got over there to see Charles, all my old, we all come up together in high school playing, you know. But we kind of separated for a minute there with my Army tour. And I said, man, I got this new equipment, R2600 synthesizer. I got to use it, play it some kind of way. So let's do an album, you know. So that was my contribution to the whole thing.
Leroy?
Yeah, Leroy.
Not a reverend.
Oh, okay.
I take that one. Yeah. No, that particular album was, it was strange, but we did it. And I had to engineer it, I mean, run the sound and play at the same time.
What?
But, yeah. But, you know, everybody's profession, they knew, you know, play at a level, you know. Nobody was up there and some down there. Everybody played at a level. And it came off great.
So where was Pops in this process? Where was Willie Mitchell? Because if he was running the board and playing, what was he doing?
Willie was at home.
Pops was on vacation, bro.
Willie was at home.
In the beginning, he only heard a couple of tracks, and he wanted to, you know, come in, hey, let me see what these guys are doing. So, hey, come on and, you know, give your opinion, you know, and everything. So he was there with us.
You know, I want to go ahead and salute, as you have, Reverend Charles, your brother, Tini, who is not here with us. But also, when we planned this event, we expected our brother, Howard Grimes, to be with us as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to start everything right and exact with making sure that we honor them through this process. You know, that I'm remiss that I enjoy every moment that I got to spend with y'all and every moment that I got to spend with Howard.
Yeah.
Tell me about this band forming, because you know, I heard Robert Gordon, which he's here, some my support. If I slide out this chair, y'all know I'm a nervous wreck. If I slide out this chair in anxiety,
Robert is my alternate. I heard his interview with you. You had been with Obie Wright since the early days, prior to really cementing this group. I mean, what was the genesis of this entire band coming together and working in Royal Studios with High Records?
It was kind of mysterious. Like Archie said, we grew up together in high school. So Archer, Leroy, and Teeny, they performed together. And I was with another group called the Style Setters. And later, I got with the great Obie Wright. In high school, I did a talent show with him. Mm-hmm. And he says, when you get out of school, will you go on the road with him? I said, yeah, right. Like that.
Sure.
So when I got out of school, we was rehearsing at this famous club in Memphis called the Flamingo Room. And OB comes in, we have the lights, you know, on, you know, and I can't see anyone coming in the door. So he said, hey, in your name, Charles Hodges. I said, yeah. I said, who is that? He said, I'm OB Wright. So the manager of the group is his cousin. And I said, "Oh, he was, yes, he is." Mm-hmm. He came in, and then he invited me. Said, "Are you out of school?" I said, "Yeah." So he said, "Are you ready to go?" I said, "Go where?" He said, "You're going to travel with me." I said, "Had to talk with the group first." So I talked with the guy, and they said, "Hey, man, go ahead. You have a chance. You know, don't forget about us." So I told him, "Yeah." He said, "Well, let's go." I said, "Now." So I'm living in Germantown, and we're downtown on a building, Hernando. So he said, "You have a car?" "I don't have a car." He said, "Well, my wife and I carry out, you know, to your house and get your clothes." So I get home, and my mom and dad sitting in the living room watching TV. So I open the door and go in. Dad looked at me and said, "Charles," said, "you're supposed to be in rehearsal." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "But this guy brought me home, and he wanted me to go on the road with him. So I had to check with you two first." So he said, "Who is this?" So I said, "Obie Wright." And when I said Obie Wright, my mother jumped out that house. But my dad just leaned back, and she was hollering and screaming. So he comes in, you know. He introduces himself, and sure enough, the story was true. So he says, "Well, if this is what he want to do," so I give him my blessing, "he can go with you." He said, "But he's kind of hot-headed. So if you get out of hand, just send him back home." So he says, "Okay." So that's how I got there. But now the story is how I got with Willie Mitchell, where Leroy and Teeny was through Obie Wright. Every time we would go out and perform, he would come back and tell Willie what I was doing on the road. And Willie was listening. So Willie was having problems with his piano player, Joe Hall. So he figured he was going to get rid of him sooner or later. And he sure enough did. And then that opened the door for me to join my other two brothers, Leroy and Keeney. And that was my dream and my prayer. All along to get with Willie Mitchell. And
while all this was going on, I'm over here dealing with Pat Sajak on the radio station in Saigon, along with Herb McKay from WGIA. I'm in the heart of the jungle, right? They got me out in the jungle. So I'm listening to the radio. I said, "I shouldn't even be out here." So on the next stand down, I had been sitting in with the musicians over there, not in Saigon, but in my area, which is called Chu Lai. I said, on the next stand down, they had bands coming in, so I'm going in and playing with the bands and stuff. And I got word that the High Rhythm had just cut a mean solo on Al Green, "Let's Stay Together." I said, "Wait a minute, I gotta get home. I gotta leave. I got to get out of here." So you heard that song before, right? So I hitchhiked the helicopter on the next stand down. I didn't go back to my unit. I was deserved the R&R anyway. It had been over 3 months anyway until I heard on the radio station. And that movie, Good Morning Vietnam, is based on that whole thing, you know. But I'm in the middle of all this going on, right? So I catch a helicopter down to Saigon from Chu Lai, where I was stationed. So I get down and knock on the door at the special service office to audition for special service to see could I get into music right then, right? Not knowing that I have a chance because I wasn't really legally supposed to be down there. But I took off anyway. After I heard they had to cut a meter to a cellar in Memphis, I had to get back home, right? So the best way for me to get back is to just show people that my talent, that I can play it. I don't need to be in the jungle. I need to be playing for the troops. So I get to the knock on the door at the special service office. Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player, his name was Larry Lee from Memphis. He opened the door for me. I said, man, what the hell are you doing over here? I'm so glad to see you though. I said, man, I'm a thousand miles away from where I was supposed to be. I just came down here just to try to catch up with Herb Decay. He used to be on WDA. He said, yeah, man, Herb down there eating chitlins. I said, eating chitlins in Saigon? I said, well, I'll catch up with him later. He said, he was getting the band together then. To make a long story short, I ended up being entertainer of the year. 1969. So when I got back home, I was anxious to get back on the road again. That's when I was into rock though mostly back then, and I was already had the R&B influence, but I wanted to play rock, you know. So I didn't immediately join the band right away. Like I said, I had an episode out in California with Bill Graham and the Fillmore West and stuff. So I came back home and this was High Rhythm. I said, man, we got to do something for us, man. You know?
And
I think y'all will enjoy that story.
He's the shy one. He always tell me when we go out, you do the talking. But then when we start talking, when he gets started, you know, he have a lot of things to say. But I want to say this before he join in. Like Archie says, he wasn't here during that time. But when we formed the group High Rhythm, he had joined. But Willie, his dad, stepdad, was reluctant to hire him, you know. We was getting ready to record a song called Soul Serenade. That was our first gold record. And so Leroy, Teeny, and Leroy and myself and Teeny, we went to Willie. And no, man, said, we got to have Hubby. Said, Hubby must be a part of it. So Willie said, man, he's not going to listen.
I was in rock and roll, man.
Willie didn't like no synthesizers or anything. He said, no, man, said, no, you got to find another. Willie, we said, please. We'll handle it. So Willie said, okay, I'm holding you all responsible for it. So showed up, he gave him a chance, and then we became the group High Rhythm. And
by the way, that record went to number one in the charts. So it's every day. My first recording before I went over.
Well,
can't make it up.
We'll see. Here's one thing, because everybody has a nickname. Now, Brother Reverend Leroy is here.
Yeah.
And this is Hubby.
Right.
And Howard was Bulldog.
Yeah.
What's your nickname?
I was Do Funny.
Do Funny. I've heard that one. Because you do funny things, right?
Yeah. Willie Mitchell gave me that name when he was traveling. After we left Manhattan, we were there 6 nights a week. So Willie decided after I joined the group, let's take it on the road. And the way I played the keyboard, he said, I would do make little funny sounds and do funny stuff on it. So he gave me that nickname, Do Funny.
Speaking of doing funny things, you know, I won't say which of my friends that's in the royal family said that studio down the street, that was a factory. And y'all brothers kept it close knit. You know, there was a lot of artists from Detroit and Mississippi,
Chicago,
and Cleveland, and all sorts of people coming in and out of that studio, but y'all kept it pretty much in the family. I mean, someone asked me today, I was having lunch, they said, you know, oh, you're doing high rhythm section. Are they at all like Stax's rhythm section? Are they at all like Booker T and MG's? Are they at all, was it an instrumental record? I mean, how do y'all describe just, first of all, I have to tell them, no, that sound, they're both the Memphis sound, but it's different. And, you know, the Memphis horns played in both spots. And, you know, Donna and Sandra Rhodes sang in both spots. And Al Jackson Jr. played drums in both spots. How do you differentiate that high rhythm sound from what other people might describe as the Memphis soul sound?
For one, we would listen to music, but we wanted to have an identity of our own. We didn't want to copy or pantomime or anything like that. So I didn't get a musical education, nor did Leroy nor Tini. It was a gift from God. Now, Hubby went to Memphis State, but still, we put it all together. However, didn't have it no more playing than the school band. And only thing I can say, it was a gift of God, and we loved each other, and we felt each other, and we did some things people just couldn't believe.
Yeah. See, the music grew up with us, because we were like from high school on. That's why we had that certain feel, because we had been playing together so long, you know, and it all came together when we all came together in the studio.
Yeah, but it wasn't so much that we had been playing, you know, all along together, because like I say, I wasn't with
you. He wasn't with us.
But, you know, yeah. But the thing was, the key to it was that we loved each other.
Oh, yeah.
That was the soul key.
And see, we, Hubby, I, Teeny, we played together all through high school.
Right. What school
is
that?
Booker T? No. I went to Mount Pisgah. I went to Mount Pisgah out in Cordova. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He went to Father Bertrand. Yeah. But we played all through high school together.
And my brother Horace, who passed away.
Yeah. We had a group called the Impellers. All right. And we played for everybody. We played for Arkansas State, Murray State. God, we played for everybody all over in high school.
Yeah. Willie used to give us those gigs because Willie Mitchell was on the road a lot. He would have so many jobs. And he couldn't, I remember one year he couldn't do Elvis Presley. You know, Elvis Presley had a private party every year.
Yeah.
Down there on Bellevue and Curry in the heart of the black neighborhood. Man. That was the Elvis hangout. So the year we were so excited with the Impalas that year. When they said, hey, I'm going to be able to make Elvis party, you guys got it. We said, what? So that's how he had faith in us back then to take his place.
Yeah.
So it all evolved into, you know.
And we were well taught by Willie himself because he cared, he loved us. I stayed at his house.
We all
slept in the same bed, ate at the same table. And matter of fact, his mother bought me my first tuxedo.
Wow.
When
you
I
see a shop today. Well,
thank you. But we just loved each other. And the key to being successful is love. I don't care what you're doing, who you are with. If you don't love those people, they're not going to get the best out of you. So love made me give my best. And then, like Hubby would hear me doing my best, he would do his best even better. And we got to the point, the five of us, Leroy, Teeny, Howard, Hubby, and myself, we could do a session. All we need to do was learn the changes. That's all we did. We listened to no tapes at no time. If you had a song, you would bring it to us. He said, this is what I like, what I hear. We look at it, we get the changes, and Willie said, okay, go ahead and work it up. We work it up, and Willie said, y'all got it.
You guys ready?
Got it. He said, let me hear it. Yeah. Willie said, let's roll it.
Yep, that was it.
It was just like that. No two-day thing about it at all. We did it right then on the floor. And that's what made us so successful, because we could feel each other and we loved each other's company.
You're now listening to another edition of WYXR Stereo Sessions presented by Nexair and Mempho. This session features the High Rhythm section and their 1976 LP, On the Loose. Jared Boyd sits down with Grammy Award-winning producer Boo Mitchell and High Rhythm section band members Leroy Hodges, Archie Hubby Turner, and Reverend Charles E. Hodges.
I want to start with my good friend Reverend Charles next to me, Reverend Charles E. Hodges. This is a mystery, and I'm glad because because Boo asked this question. I thought it was a dumb question until Boo asked it, because he ought to know. But you know, we talked about who sang on which record. You sang on that last part there, that last Purple Raindrops, right?
Purple Raindrops. I rearranged it. I played organ in the beginning, and then on the end of it, I played piano.
And you really took us to church. So for you to be the reverend,
yeah,
you took us to church on that Purple Raindrops. That was dope. That was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And the earlier tracks your brother Tina sang on, is that correct?
Yeah, Tina and Hubby. Yeah. I sang on the first track.
I did the lead on the loose.
Since you were
on the loose. We're going to record it to play on the radio later on.
I did the lead on that on the loose thing.
On the loose.
Yeah. On the loose album.
Like I said, I wrote the song. I wrote on the loose. I wrote the second song, Superstar.
That's my favorite. Yeah. I played it on my show last night. I opened my show.
Yeah,
last.
Really? Mm-hmm. And we were getting ready to go to Atlanta, Georgia. Hubby, Tina, and myself. And we went and picked Hubby up in White Station. And I said, hey man, I have this song. I need some help with the lyrics on it. I have the music. So he said, well, let me hear it. So I got on the piano and I played it and they grabbed the pencil and the paper. And that's how that come about. And on the second song, I played it as well. And they liked it, so the first two tunes that we recorded.
Over at 1320 South Lauderdale, South Memphis, mm-hmm. Right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Listen, this is Stereo Sessions, and if I can take a little aside, it's beautiful that we can celebrate these records that, you know, there's so much legacy, there's so much lore, there's so much creativity, there's so much around these records, but maybe they're not be. There's no place in the world we can sit in a room with these brothers. Yeah. Yeah. And with y'all. And listen together, like a movie theater. Like you go and see a movie together, listen to a record together, that's a beautiful thing. I truly appreciate y'all being here with us. It means so much to me. Someone asked me earlier, as I mentioned, you know, are there anything like Booker T and the MGs, or anything like what you hear? Do y'all agree it's nothing like you might hear?
Hell no.
Peter has something to say today. Can we talk about that, the quintessential, as it were, the quintessential Royal Studio sound? A lot of people think about Al Green when they think about Ann Peebles, they think about Syl Johnson. You tell a great story about Backup Train and how Al even got to be at the studio. I know he was born in the area, he was in Forest City, correct?
Yeah.
And so that's not terribly far from Memphis. There's a lot going on in Memphis, a lot going on in West Memphis, a lot going on in this region. Of course, we get a lot of our swag from the Delta. So there's a lot going on in this region. However, could y'all, I mean, y'all can jump in, but just that interaction of being able to get him from Arkansas and from Missouri into Memphis and into this coveted Royal Studios community, because we'll talk a bit more about who else was coming through there, if any of you would like to jump in.
With Al Green, I got a phone call from Willie Mitchell about 8:30 in the morning, and he says, hey, Charles, have you heard of this kid, Al Green? Got a song out, Bag of Train, a hit record.
I said, was on man. Bell Records, right?
Yeah. I said, oh man, I said, that is my favorite record. So he said, well, guess what, he need a band for tonight in what part of Texas was that?
It was Midland.
Midland, Texas. So I say, well, what are we gonna do? He said, you wanna do it? I said, yeah. He said, okay, let me call the rest of the guys. He said, you're the first one I've called. So he called the rest of them, and he called me back to get ready, we are going. So he came and picked me up, had them in the van already, and we headed to Carolina, Texas, Midland, Texas. And we got there just in time to do the show, really, after riding all day. And Al gets there, so we get there a few minutes to, you know, decide the song that we were going to do. And we are professional musicians at this time, so we know all the, you know, the happening stuff. So we asked Al, what do you know? So he told us, so You picked out a Jackie Wilson song, a James Brown song, Sam Cooke song, Al Green song, and we did the concert. So Al said, Willie said, hey man, said, you need a ride back to Memphis, don't you? He said, yeah, I do. So we brought him back to Memphis. And on the way back, we discussed he leaving his record label and coming with High Records. So it was a discussion. So now the business part really takes care of that. But this is how we get to Al Green. And this is how it really happens. You know, we started recording here. And I started off on piano. I just did the keyboards on the road. But in the studio, I was doing the piano. And only when we got to Love and Happiness is when I went to the organ. But that's another story in itself.
You know, I say Love and Happiness. I joke to myself, and you know, I have a lot of inside jokes with just me. But I say Love and Happiness is my favorite Southern rock song. Because it's just rocking. Okay, that's a rock song you. To me.
Thank you.
That's my free bird.
Yeah. On Love and Happiness, Hubby and I were playing piano.
Yeah.
So we didn't do it the first night. So Will and Al Jackson called a session. So man said, this is the first time this ever happened. So we went home and he said, y'all be back here tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I guess you want to punish us now. So he gets back at 10 and we get our instruments going. He gets the sound going. So we tell Al, Hubby, and Tina and myself, okay, you all can go and take a break. So do I have to tell y'all what the break was? I didn't think so. Okay. So we went and had our little break. So on the way back, I stopped. I said, Al, I said, I know what's wrong. He said, what? I said, I need to be on organ. Al said, well, hell. So let's go. So we come back in the studio, and the Hammond organ is the first instrument that you get to when you get in the studio. Cranks the organ up. Willie said, hey, Charles, what you doing? I said, I'm turning it on. No, man, get back on piano. I said, it's sounding good. We're getting ready to record it. I said, let me try. He said, no, man, get off the organ. Get back to the piano. So Al said, hey, the man said he want to try the organ. So Al and Willie said in harmony, okay. So I go in and get the organ cranked up, and he said, okay, let me hear it. I let him hear it. So he tells us to count it off. Tina counted it off. That sound, pom, pom, pom. That was on a Coca-Cola case.
Coca-Cola. Oh, my
gosh. It was a wooden Coca-Cola case. But anyway.
Some of y'all might not. Some of us might not be old enough to remember no Coca-Cola case.
So after about three or four bars, when I come into that punch, he stopped it. Oh, that's it. Let's cut it. We cut it in one take.
Yep. What's up, Rob? What you got?
What were y'all listening to when you were making On the Loose? Like, was there something you were trying to sound like?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
some say no, some say yes.
Male one.
Well, from my perspective, I had the new R2600 synthesizer. So I wanted to, Willie didn't really like synthesizers. And I was, like I said, I was the rock and roll guy. So when I came over, I brought the new instrument with me and also an idea that we should cut something on our own. So that was my opportunity to use the ARP synthesizer for me, you know, to get the sounds like on Purple Rain, you know. The wind, the rain, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. But anyway. But the most part about it, we had recorded the Al Green, the Detroit Emeralds, O.B. Wright, Ann Peebles, Seal Johnson. We just wanted to do something that was going to be high rhythm.
Right.
And that's how we come up with this sound. Teeny was a hell of a writer.
Yeah.
Tina wrote the majority of these songs, and he sang and lead on them as well. And we just put our heads together, and this is what we came up with.
Yeah. Now, one other reason that I think is fantastic that you do these studio sessions is that hearing these stories, you start to see not only are there so many different things going on in Memphis music, but there's so many overlaps. You look at the diagram. Mm-hmm. Our very first studio session when we did the companion, the art synthesizer was also a big part of that record too.
Yeah.
Clearly an innovative instrument at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you speak of Teenie as an innovator as well.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about these outfits on the record, on the cover now. Because I don't mean no harm. I didn't say this, so children, plug your ears. There's a DJ in town who calls this record, not High Rhythm Section on the Loose, they just call it Teenie's Weenie. He's got on this track, I don't know if you call it a workout, but my generation calls it a rump him. Because there's a rump her for women, a rump him for men, and it's really tight in this section. Who picked the outfits? Because I see the team obviously picked his own outfit to show off.
Exactly. Well,
his assets.
Being Frank, we picked our own outfits.
Yeah, we all individually.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And Teenie was wild, and he wasn't ashamed of his package.
Neither am I. Well, I'm glad we cleared up that mystery. That's the reason why we scheduled this evening. So, we can all go home. I just wanted to clear that up. Now I'm discombobulated. I was waiting. I was building up all night for that one. Anything else? Brother Turner.
Yeah.
I've heard the story. Now, first of all, you mentioned that Pops did not embrace synthesizers, and we know, if you follow the records, you know that in the Waylo years with another Archie, with Booth's brothers, yeah. Archie, programming
right.
drums, Billy Always,
right.
Keisha Wright, I mean, there was a lot of people, Perry Michael Allen that came to the studio that definitely depend on synthesizers rather, yeah. even Reverend Al Green using a lot of synthesizers in some of those later years.
Yeah.
There's stories that I've heard about you in some of those 1980s years playing with some bands at the legendary Antenna Club. Is that true?
Oh yeah, one of his relatives, Roland Robinson, who's from Detroit, came down and he formed a band called Quo Junior Rock and Roll Band. Like I told you, I was into rock before I really came over to the studio, and we do a lot of concerts around the area, nightclubs. You know, he was like coming down to hang with Teenie and his first cousins, you know, just to check the music scene out, you know. And he had knew all the Motown stuff. So he taught me a lot of the Motown's music back then. And boy, mostly he was a Jimi Hendrix fan. And we formed a rock band. We opened up for the Sex Pistols, believe it or not, at the old Towson Ballroom on Poplar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know who the Sex Pistols were, you know. Cats running around, man. Oh, this crazy guy, Sid Vicious. and that's how the rock and roll, you know, that was a rock and roll. Roland Robinson was the cause of that. He's the band, you know, he got me into it. And I was already, kind of, when I left the Army, I was already into it too. So when he came down, we kind of hooked up, you know, from the rock and roll scene.
And since he brought up Jimi Hendrix and all of them with Roland, he was my first cousin,
yeah.
bass player. And when he joined Buddy Miles,
right.
he started playing bass with Buddy Miles. So he come to me one day, Jimi Hendrix is getting ready to come to town. And he said, "Hey man, Jimi Hendrix wants to meet you." I said, "Really?" I said, "Man, really, me?" He said, "Yeah." He says he did an article in Rolling Stone magazine, says I was his favorite organ player.
Wow.
So I went to the show. I went to it. I never got to meet him. I was doing the drugs during that time, and I was had some purple haze. When I stopped.
So you mean you didn't go meet Jimi Hendrix when you had the purple haze?
I went to meet him. Okay. I went to meet him, but I had did the purple haze. One of my cousins, he's deceased, called.
Got sidetracked.
I'm trying to figure out how you do the purple haze and forget Jimi Hendrix.
Like, I know that's kind of strange.
Who made this famous?
Hey man, I was out there.
I understand.
When I end up, I was up in the nosebleed section.
Yeah.
But it took me the whole show to know where I was. And then it came to me, I got to meet Jimmy, and when I got my eyes under me, no one in there. Mm. Everyone is going, only Carl and I walking down out of the place. And that was a really big disappointment to me, but he was my favorite. Jimi Hendrix was, and I'm glad that he said I was his favorite organ player out of all the other organ players. Yeah.
Now, I'd like to run down a bit of a roll call of some of the other sort of, for me, unsung heroes of the High Records and Royal Studios legacy, from Vannie Starks to Irma Shaw.
Right.
Dan Greer coming in out of there, Earl Randall. Y'all want to jump in with people, Quiet Elegance.
Yeah.
Detroit Emeralds, absolutely. Jimmy Parker recorded there. Am I losing my mind?
No.
Don Bryant.
He's still doing it today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm working with him now. Don Bryant, I'm working with him. Scott Beaumont.
Yeah. Denise LaSalle.
Absolutely. And Al Jackson Jr., who, you know, we acknowledge Howard Grimes. You all work with two separate legendary drummers. Is there any way to separate the two? Is there any way to contextualize the work of both those iconic drummers in the studio with you?
Well, I would classify Al Jackson as a aggressive, brute drummer. He had big arms, so did Howard, but he would hit the drum so hard. Howard was a sweet, had soft touch. He knew how to draw you. So that's the two differences I would put with them. And Willie said it best. That's why he used Al on certain things on the set, and Al Jackson on certain songs on the set. Howard was the latest man on the drum.
Right. Well, rest in peace to Howard. We scheduled this event and expecting that Howard would be here, and unfortunately Howard moved on to the ancestral plane, and so we want to thank Howard for his guidance, for his music, for his love, and for his sweet touch. Yes. And also we want to take some time to memorialize your daughter has passed on, and we didn't expect you to be with us tonight, and so it means so much to me, and I'm sure it means so much to everyone here that you would take time out of your evening to be with us to share these stories.
Yes. That's so true. Next to my youngest daughter, she turned 50 on March the 25th, and she passed on Saturday the 7th of May. And I'll be funeralizing her on this coming Saturday. And she was my heart, my joy, and I know she would want me to do this. I had even forgotten about it, but I was sitting up, my wife and I, watching TV, and my alarm went off. I had put it in my telephone, and I looked at it and said, oh my goodness. She said, well, you don't need to go. I said, yes, I do. I need to go. Because one, I had given my word to Lord. I see also why it was so easy for me to make that decision, looking at all of these beautiful faces and how you all are welcoming High Rhythm, which Teenie was the leader of the group, but now they put it on me. So sometimes I have problems out of them. They want me to tell them everything. But anyway, I have to do what, you know, they entrusted me in doing. So I gave them the word that we would be here with you all on this afternoon, this evening. And I'm so glad that we kept our word being here with you all.
Thank you.
You all have a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah.
Now, this is our family, and I consider myself blessed to be a part of this legacy and a part of this moment. You know, whenever I come around y'all, you know it's a big party with Lo and Vaughn. I made the table nice. Willie Mitchell's daughters, you know, take care of everybody in the studio, and they have a podcast, Reverend Hodges, you can give it, called Quick Dishes for You Bitches. Delicious. Everything on the spread is delicious. If you haven't checked that out, go on YouTube and check that out. And speaking of other family members, before we get to the next side of the record, I know we got to get to the next side of the record, there's one more Mitchell that I really feel like we should speak to, who I think had, forgive me for the pun, an instrumental touch on this record, James Mitchell.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Genius.
Genius. Could we speak a bit about not only his touch here, but along with Memphis Horns, and I mean, he had his fingers in so much stuff, and it's not mentioned often enough alongside Pops Willie Mitchell and all the innovators, Floyd Newmans and the Bowlegs Millers, and these people who are truly the folks, as you mentioned, you know, you need some classically trained folks behind you sometimes to guide that ship. Can we speak a bit about James Mitchell?
Yeah, James, he was one of a kind. He was Willie Mitchell's brother. And James, he went out to Berkeley, and that's where he graduated from. But James, when he came back, he started arranging strings and horns for people like Aretha Franklin with the Doobie Brothers. And he would get calls to come overseas to do strange arrangement, horn arrangement. He played baritone, and he was really great. So Leroy, Tina, and I, we used to ask Willie, why don't you use James on some of these things? Willie said, James can't do that stuff. And yes, he can. So, but same kind of with Hubby. So Willie said, man, said, James can't do that. I said, man, I said, yes, he can. So he's doing strange arrangements for Aretha Franklin, the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, he lived out in California for a while before he came back to Memphis. He was doing a lot of music there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But he was really great. And one of Al Green's songs that I wrote, a co-writer with, was Always. And it was like a classical, so to say, song. James Mitchell did the strange arrangements and the horns, but he did it in the air.
He was even flying.
He wrote it. He wrote
on
it
the plane. No keyboards, no nothing.
No anything. Just he wrote it, and then he brought it back and said, how you like this? I said, oh, man. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. He was really great.
Yeah. Well, much love to James Mitchell. Much love to the entire Mitchell family, the entire Royal Studios family over there on what was 1320 South Lauderdale. Now is 1320 Willie Mitchell
Boulevard.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. So, and, we leave our
and then let me say this. Willie did using James in the last. James did all the horns and the strings and ring.
Absolutely.
With Al Green.
Absolutely. Y'all ready to hear the second side of that record? We have copies of this record to sell, and would y'all mind signing some of them if we get that one?
Love to.
Yes. So make sure that you support our sponsor, Fat Possum Records, who reissued this record, and you can outside Teens Weenie if you even come by. All right.
Same old sand.
Rockin' Loose.
Come out. Put the clothes on now.
Get
to
the
Grizzlies game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a lot of Memphis for one night, huh? You gotta love an album that ends with a song about skinny dipping.
Right, there's a story behind that.
There usually is. Go ahead, unless you're saving it for the book.
No, I can tell it.
Go ahead.
I think we was in California and we was invited to a party.
Buddy Mal.
Yeah, Buddy Mal. We had, in order to get in the party, everybody had to take the clothes off. You couldn't get in the party unless you stripped. I remember meeting Jimmy Hendrix's girlfriend in the party. I can't remember what year it was. Anyway, everybody was,
a whole lot of things I try to forget.
The loss of memory.
But anyway, that's where we got it from. That it all came about. The party.
Wore the outfit that he had on the album.
Yeah.
Because of that particular song, Skinny Dip.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much to everybody that came to this installment of Stereo Sessions. As we mentioned, Fat Possum has provided some beautiful reissues of this record for us. Thank you so much for the high rhythm.
Thank you, guys.
Music Export Memphis presents the Tambourine Bash Thursday, October 10th at the historic Overton Park Shell. This annual celebration of collaboration is a one-of-a-kind night of Memphis music.